on the day before that he was going to die, chose to serve and to be low to his disciples by serving. He served by washing their feet on the day before he was going to die. And not only did he wash their feet, but he also gave them the ultimate example of what it looks like to serve through love. And we'll see what that looks like in today's reading. Our passage today comes from John chapter 13, verse 31 to 35, and I'll give you a second to turn there. John chapter 13, verse 31 to 35. Verse 31. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we thank you for another day that you allow us to live, to meet, to be able to go to work and to sing. May all that we do point back to you as we go through your word. Would it sink in our hearts as we are shown the ultimate example of love? Would you allow us to be attentive and awake as we read through your word tonight? In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So a little bit of context. So right before this, the disciples are arguing of who is the greatest among them. Is it James or is it John or Peter? They're all arguing who is the greatest. And yet, in that moment, the Son of God just washed the feet of his disciples, again, the day before he was going to die. Christ did not flaunt his God card, but instead, the one with the highest honor served as the lowest by washing his disciples' feet. After this, he said that Judas would betray him, and all the disciples were confused, and they looked at each other like, who's the one who's the traitor, who's the traitor? And he gave the bread to Judas and said to Judas, "What you're going to do, do quickly." And he left. Right as Judas left is where we pick up in our passage today. And then in John 31 to 35, we see that Jesus commands us to love one another. At this point, he's the only talking to those who are saved since Judas has now left the room. And to his disciples, he says to love, as Christ has loved us, and so we are to follow that example and serve one another through love. He loved us, and not only did he love us, he served us. And today, our main point is taken directly from the example of Christ. Our key idea in our reading is this. One of the best ways we express the love of God is through serving one another. One of the best ways that we express the love of God is through serving one another. We see in this section that believers express the love of Christ through serving. And so there are three questions that I want us to ask ourselves. Question number one, what should we do? Second, how should we love? And lastly, why should we love? And so the first point, what should we do? We see this in verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. So, what is the action that Christ is calling us to do? We are to love one another as Christ has loved us. Notice how it says a new commandment. I'm sure you're thinking, hey, how is this a new commandment? Didn't Jesus say in Matthew 22, 39, you should love your neighbor as yourself? What makes this commandment so new and special? That's a good point. But Jesus is not saying new in the sense that something that they discovered or something that they didn't know before, because we all know that the disciples knew this commandment already. But instead, the perspective and the example of the old commandment is now new. It's kind of like the Grand Canyon. I don't know if you guys have been there. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. I remember going on these long car rides to go all the way to the Grand Canyon. And over there are two rims or two lookout points. On one side, there's a south rim, and then on the other, there's a north rim. You drive to the south rim, and you see the peaks, the colors, the water, and the landscape in one way. And it is so beautiful, and you just admire, and you see God's creation. Then you drive a long way, and you go all the way to the north rim. And again, you see the peaks, the color, the water, and the landscape. It is the same Grand Canyon, but you see it in a totally different light. And yet, it is also like the new commandment that has been given, to love one another. The extent and the example is fresh and new, not necessarily the commandment itself. and it is fresh and new because of the example that Christ has showed them as he washed their feet. In verse 34, we see love in this verse alone three times. What is love? Love is defined as an intense feeling of deep affection. This is a good definition of love, right? No, no, it is not. This is a definition of love, but this does not reflect God's love. Worldly love, there's worldly love and there's God's love. And worldly love, yes, it has intense feelings of deep affection. But worldly love also only gives if there's something to receive. Worldly love only gives if it is convenient for me and there's something for me to get or to receive. Worldly love only loves if it is convenience or gives me glory or makes me look good. Worldly love is transactional and the opposite of sacrificial. We do not love the way that the world loves. We are to love as God loves. And so, what does God's love look like? God's love, on the other hand, is completely different. God's love is sacrificial, putting others' needs above my own and serves other people. God's love expects nothing in return for our love that we give. God's love does not give the minimum, but instead it gives all, even to the point of one's own life. God's love does not care about status, but instead is bent on being low for the sake of service to others. God's love is putting off your own glory, and instead is humble to serve others and to wash their feet, even at the expense of your own status. I'm saying washing their feet a lot. Washing their feet is summed up in serving one another in humility and love. So when I say washing their feet, it's serving one another in humility and love. And so we see the two differences of worldly love and God's love. And here's a definition of God's love. An unconditional commitment to an imperfect person that seeks the other's highest good, even at the cost to self. God's love is an unconditional commitment to an imperfect person that seeks the other's highest good, even at the cost to self. And so here we see Christ commands us to love one another. This is not a very strong recommendation that he would only want us to do only if we feel like it. The last time I checked, the verse doesn't say, a new commandment I give you, that you love those who are chill, funny, and offer something to your life. No, this is not what he says. He says to love one another, period. And he's not asking. This is a command for all believers to love one another. Again, this is not optional for believers. He knew as sinner walks alongside sinner within the church that it would be a hard thing to do. And if we're honest with ourselves, loving some people, it is a struggle. It is easy to love family and friends and people who we have similarities with. But if we're honest, it's even hard to love those who are close to us sometimes. We know how hard loving family can be at times. But these are the people who we are to walk alongside with. Notice that the very thing that Christ taught before he died is not love or is not anything else, but instead it is unity within the church. That is love between you and me, you and the person you're sitting next to, and you and the person you have a hard time with. Don't look at them. Loving each other, he knew that he didn't say that they're going to do so well. They're going to model their love after mine, and they're going to love each other so much. No, he knew that this would be a hardship that we would face, and yet he still commanded us to love anyway. And praise the Lord that the love we have is not our own, but instead it is the love of Christ that is lavishly poured upon us that we now share with other people. Yes, the Lord commands us to love, but loving one another is not something that we do because we can pay back God or we owe God, because we can never pay God back, ever. We can never repay Christ for what he has done on the cross. And I don't want us to get mixed up because God did something and therefore I have to do this as if it were reluctant or unwillingly. We serve out of obedience and freedom for what the Lord has given to us. Let's say one day you want to pay your parents back for everything that they did, for all the years that they have loved you, the rides they have given, the food that they have prepared, for some how they have taught you the word and gave you lessons on becoming more like Christ. Yeah, and even birthing you, how much is that supposed to cost? Is there really an amount that can be paid back for all that they have done? No. There is no amount of money that could ever be paid back for what they have done for us. And even now, as we care for our parents, it is not out of thinking that we can pay them back, but instead we are enjoying and we are recipients of how they have been pouring into us. And similarly, there's no amount of serving, no amount of Bible reading or loving that we can do to pay God back for what he has done for us on the cross. And these things, they're not just good things. These are great things to do. But instead, we do these actions out of the freedom and the love that we have been shown. We would never, ever think that we can pay our parents back by putting a monetary value on what they have done for us. And yet, sometimes for some of us, we think that we can pay God back for with the amount of serving that we do or for what he has done for us on the cross. We can never, never, never pay him back for what he has done for us. But instead, we serve, we love, we read our Bibles, and we pray out of an act of joy in obedience for what he has done. And I know for some of us, our parents have not raised us well. And to even sinful parents, I hope that we would extend love and care as we have been shown. The sacrifice that Christ showed us on the cross is not just an example, but shows to the fullest extent of what love we should be showing to others. And I pray that we would be a people who do not simply copy or just have behavior modification, but instead that we are a transformed people, a people who love and serve others out of a joy and obedience, again, for what the Lord has done for us. Question number two, how should we love one another? We see this in verse 33, 34, and also John chapter 13, verse 3-5 as well. This is verse 33. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. This is John chapter 13, verse 3-5. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and taking a towel, tied it around his waist, then poured water into a basin and began washing the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And so again, we ask ourselves, how are we to love one another? We love one another by being low and washing each other's feet. Again, by being low and maybe not literally washing each other's feet, but by serving one another in love and humility. In verse 33, we see a subtle yet beautiful picture of Christ, even serving through his words by saying little children. He's not saying little children, you guys are just kids to me in the literal sense, but more so in the spiritual sense. For the past 3 years, the disciples have followed Christ. They went where he went. They followed his commands. They did what he did. But just like little children, the disciples were powerless. They had no authority of their own, and they run to their protector when they are in danger. They were wholly dependent on their master, and now he is going to leave them. And so he understands the disciples will have a hard time without him. And so he says, little children. At this point, Christ isn't saying, look at me, I'm going to die, serve me, serve me and all that you guys do. But instead he does the complete opposite by looking to his sheep who are in need of a shepherd. And he denies himself, and instead he feeds them instead. He had every right for them to look at him and serve him, but instead he denies that. And some of us are going through hardship as well. Some of us are getting 4 hours of sleep or less. We are serving, having to do extra work at your jobs, taking care of sick family members, dealing with conflict. The list continues to go on for some of us. But even in our suffering and affliction, I pray that we would still serve others by putting their needs above our own needs. Even if we think that they're being wimpy or they aren't going through a fraction of the things that we are going through, that we would still meet them where they are at. And this could look like a number of different things. Practically, in small group, when someone shares about a hardship and we are quick to one-up them or disregard their suffering, someone in your small group says, man, I only got 5 hours of sleep yesterday. Do we say 5 hours? That's a pretty good amount. I only got three. Like, this is a suffering Olympics or something like that. Like, good job, you had a gold medal for getting less sleep than somebody else. We see Christ. We see Christ putting off his heavenly glory to serve sinners like us, and by being low and serving out of love. We know and we see the example to follow. And again, we don't follow blindly, but we follow out of loving obedience for what Christ has done for us. So we see what love looks like. What does love not look like? Like mentioned earlier, loving each other does not look like searching for our own needs or doing something that benefits us, as we all do sometimes. Love does not look like one-upping someone when they get less sleep. Love does not look like talking in a condescending manner when people ask a question that we know the answer to. Love is not buying someone a meal for the hope that they would buy us a meal, or to hope that they would look at us in some holy and godly way that we are sitting high above. Love is not waiting for someone to, in small group, to finish sharing just so you can talk ahead of them, but instead giving them your whole undivided attention to care for them and to have their needs be heard as they share their requests. We might not say that we don't love people verbally, but sometimes if you're anything like me, it shows in how you think and it shows through your actions. Or we show that we only care for ourselves more than we care for other people. We equate how much we're going through with how much attention that we should get and how much support that we should get from other people. Yes, I'm not saying we should ignore our hardships. Our hardships are something that we should share, and it actually allows other people to help us in our time of need. But we should not think that because we are going through more things than someone else, that we automatically earn the respect from other people when we face hardship. Again, Jesus Christ, who faced death, still washed the feet of those who were not even willing to listen to other people's hardships. This is not how it should be. Lord, would you help us to be selfless and quick to serve others as you have done for us? In John 13, verse 3-5, Jesus washes the feet of his disciples. Washing feet was the role of a house servant, almost like a maid. God in heaven coming down as the role of a servant. And how backwards does that sound? If Jesus, the Lord of heaven, came down to take the form of a lowly servant, what does that say about our position as humans serving humans? Talk about a downgrade of being God and coming down as a man. I pray that this would help us to be willing to serve one another as humble servants. Just think about that for a little bit. God washed the feet of the disciples who he made. He knew the disciples. He formed them in their mother's womb. And here he is washing the dirt, the muck, the feces, and the dead skin from the feet of the disciples. Washing feet for others is arguably as low as you can go. And yet I pray that it would challenge us and help us to think of those who we can love and who we can serve. We too should put off our own status or our own power or glory or lack thereof for the sake of serving others. And it's also interesting to note, he washed the feet of all his disciples. It wasn't just the 11 who were believers. He washed the feet of Judas. Judas, who was a traitor and sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. Judas, the enemy, who was the very man who put Christ on the cross. Judas, who only followed Christ for his own benefit and for his own gain, Christ still washed the feet of this wretched sinner. This is the same level that we should be willing to bend to. To bend our knee, not just to serve our friends or to help our friends, but to serve those who have betrayed us or who have wronged us. Judas was the least deserving of having his feet be washed, and yet Christ still bent down to wash and to serve. Think about that for a little bit. Brothers and sisters, Praxis, this is how we are to love. We love by putting off our own needs, wants, desires, glory, time, and our lives. We are to put off our own lives for the sake of serving others and even to serve our enemies. Praxis, steward your singleness well, because if you're not married, you are still single. Steward the gifts that God has given you that no other person in this room has. No other person in this room has the gifts that you have as a believer, and use it to serve each other. Put off your own selfish desires. Bend to other people's needs. Wash other people's feet. Put off our own agenda and instead serve one another in love. What does this look like specifically? Specifically, it looks like giving rise to people who are even out of our way, who are not along the way of where we're going, but out of our way. We love by listening to people when they speak. We love by talking to newcomers who are standing alone and do not have community yet. We love by not looking to our own interests, but instead we look to the interests of others. Last question. Why should we love the way that Jesus did? Verse 35. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. If you have love for one another. Why should we love? We should love as Christ loved, so that the world may see that we are Christ's disciples, and it is a mark of a true disciple. The love that we have for others is how unbelievers in the world will see Christ. When Christ was here, people saw Jesus. They saw him having miracles and giving food and walking among them. But since he is not here with us physically, the world will see Christ in the way that we love one another, how the church loves each other in the body. When we think of people we do not love, it doesn't just affect us. Sin doesn't just affect us. It affects ourselves, it affects those who we do not love, and ultimately, it affects those and it affects our testimony to those who are outside of the church. Our testimony to the very people who we were trying to win over is completely destroyed because of the lack of love that we have for one another. This is so much more than just not liking someone or being annoyed with them or not liking how they act. This is a matter of winning non-believers over. If there's someone, maybe a coworker or a friend, who you're trying to share the gospel with, and all they hear is how annoying people are in the church, how lazy people are, or straight up that you just don't like them, do you think they don't want to go to church or to know Christ more or to know his body? But instead, if we shared and they saw how we pray and care for one another, how we serve and bend to their needs above our own needs, how we are refreshed as we go to church, and the love of the people who are over there, how much of a greater testimony is that of the church? What if we said and showed that I have brothers at church who walk with me, who support me, who lift me up when I am weak, who celebrates and mourn with me, walk with me, support me, who listen and love as Christ loved me? What does this show about the love of Christ that we have at our church? The first example, which is that the church and Christ are just people who are just like the rest of the world. They hate and they slander each other, but instead they just meet for a couple hours on Thursday and Sunday. This is not just a regular social club here at Lighthouse. But if we love each other with God's love, they will see a more accurate picture of sinners who are walking alongside sinner and loving one another in the way that the rest of the world cannot replicate. We love one another in a way that the rest of the world cannot replicate. We also love as the mark of a true disciple. It is apparent that the rest of the world, they only love when people are nice to them or loving to them. Then they love. Strictly transactional. But if we are truly, truly born again believers who have been saved by the blood of the Lamb, who gave us the ultimate example to love one another, we are automatically in debt to love one another. We are in debt to love one another regardless of how we are treated. And as believers, we are to outlove and to outserve one another because of what Christ has done for us on the cross. Romans 13:8, it says, "Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law." How would it make any sense if we've been shown forgiveness, mercy, grace, compassion? We've been shown so much and yet we don't extend that to the people around us. How does that make any sense? Unless we have not been saved and we do not know the full extent of wrath that we have been saved from simply because of the cross of Christ. Do we really love and know Christ, or are we simply just a product of our environment? My friends go to church. They read their Bible, they pray before they eat, and they're relatively nice to the people around them. And then also at work, you go to work. My friends at work, they partake in sinful activities. Do we just roll with them and do what they do? Are we really saved? Or are we just a product of our environment? I don't want to scare you guys, but this is a question that is the most important question that you could ever ask yourselves in this life. Do I love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and will serve him? Or do I simply just like the idea of God? Again, Judas did the same exact thing as the other 11 disciples in the 3 years of ministry that he was with Christ. I'm sure he prayed, he ate bread with Jesus, he knew his Bible, served food to a multitude of people. But what happened to him? And just like the Pharisees, they looked good on the outside. They looked holy on the outside, but inside they were dead. They were completely dead. And so I want us to ask ourselves, where are we? Are we truly born-again believers, or are we simply just good-looking coffins? Are we just a product of our environment and just mindlessly doing the things that people around us are doing? Are we really good at copying people? Are we really good at behavior modification? Or do we really love the Lord with our heart, soul, mind, and strength? That is the most important question that you can ask yourself. Do not put it off. There's also joy to be had in serving. And I hope we remember that as well. Acts 20:35, it says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And this is something that I have to say, but even in our own lives, we see when we serve out of love and out of joy for Christ and his people. We become more like Christ as we serve one another. And there are three short examples that I've seen here at Praxis that I've been so encouraged by. In small group, when we're leading discussion and someone is confused about something they don't understand, and we take time to walk with them and talk to them and to help them understand something that they don't get, and then they ultimately get that, is it not rewarding as for us to be able to serve them? Is it not rewarding to help us or to help other people know more about Christ? Or in leading worship with one another, in songs that are singable, in words that are filled with scripture and in truth, and singing together in unison, is that not something that is so rewarding to us? Lastly, or in offering up our time to help other people, to improve in tennis, to get tips on what equipment to buy, giving rides, is good for us to serve our brothers and sisters so that they benefit and grow from how we serve them. Praxis, again, in the time that you are single, because if you're not married, you are still single, use this time well to serve the body and to not just grow yourselves, but to serve one another in love. Again, why should we love the way that Christ loves? One, because of the testimony that it gives to other people in the world and that they have an accurate picture of who Christ is. We love the way Jesus loves because, two, for our sake to know if we are really saved or not, or just a product of our environment. And lastly, for our joy in Christ. I'm not promising that loving one another will be easy. I'm actually guaranteeing that it will be difficult. And not only will it be difficult, it will actually be impossible to love one another if we do not know the love of Christ. And again, I'm not standing up here because I love perfectly or have all the right answers or I'm perfect. Instead, I'm standing up here as the opposite. I have no capacity to love of my own, but this is where the love of God transforms us and changes us in his love as Christ served and loved us. In our passage, we see that Christ allows us as believers to love one another through serving. And I want us to ask yourself this, what kind of church do we want Lighthouse to be? What kind of ministry do we want Praxis to be? Do we want Lighthouse and Praxis to be just a church filled with hypocrites and people who just look out for their own interests? Or do we want Lighthouse to be a beacon of light in this dark world that shows the love of Christ to each other in the way that we serve, in the way that we serve one another in love? Will we serve ourselves or will we serve each other? Would you pray with me? Lord, help us to love and to serve as you have loved and served us. Lord, we fall so incredibly short, but would your cross show us the ultimate example of love that we are to show to one another? Help us to spur one another on to love and good works, and would it show to the rest of the world of how we love each other and that we do not love the way that the world loves. Lord, we love in a way that cannot be replicated. Help Lighthouse. Lord, help this ministry, help Praxis to be filled with disciples who do not just know you, but Lord, of people who love you. And Lord, that we would not be a ministry who just looks out for our own interests, but instead we look to the interests of others, even if it comes to the cost of denying our own desires and our own wants or needs. Lord, would you work through this church that loves you so, so much? Or would you help us to reach the lost? And would your love be the very thing that fuels us to love? Lord, would we sing and respond in a sweet time of worship and in singing to one another? Would it be encouraging to our hearts and our minds as we serve and as we walk this race with one another? Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.